Now again, we turn your attention to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11. Let me read again two verses from this wonderful chapter, verses 6 and 7. Hebrews 11, verses 6 and 7. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Sure God will bless to us the reading of these verses. Those of you who are daily listeners will know that for a few weeks we have been going through the Epistle to the Hebrews, and now this week we've been going through chapter 11, and here we come to this man called Noah. Of course, to get the historical background to Noah, you've got to go back to the book of Genesis. Let me remind you again that when you read through Hebrews chapter 11, you'll notice that the writer draws his witnesses from various eras of time. He gives to us three of them who lived before the days of the flood. There was Abel and Enoch. These two we have already dealt with. And now today we're looking at this man who was called Noah. He lived before the days of the flood. He also lived through the flood. And he becomes the connecting link between the days that preceded the flood and the days that succeeded the flood. So Noah comes right through that great period of the time of judgment in the days of the flood. And he finds his place here in Hebrews chapter 11, in the hall of fame of the heroes of faith. He also walked the pilgrim highway, and he acted in faith. Now watch again, as I have pointed out in a previous study, how we are advanced one step after another. Abel is presented as a man who approached God. That is, he approached God to worship God. He had an acceptance with God on the basis of the sacrifice. But then you go on a step further, and you discover that Enoch was not only a man who had an acceptance with God, not only did he know how to worship God, he knew how to live his life on that principle of faith, and he walked with God consistently, and he had a concern for the things of God in the midst of an ungodly generation. He didn't have it easy, but he was consistent. He was faithful right to the day of his translation. But now when we move to Noah, who of course was a descendant of Enoch, we find that Noah not only had an acceptance with God, for he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It says so in Genesis 6. But Noah was a man who also walked with God. Again, I remind you, in the midst of a wicked generation, as we shall see in a moment. But not only did Noah worship God and walk with God, but Noah was a man who worked for God and worked, as it were, with God. He knew how to do the work of the Lord, under the Lord's directions, of course. But now he mentions him here in Hebrews 11. But before we read concerning Noah and what he did you notice that verse where I first read? It comes in between the man who was called Enoch and the man who is called Noah. And it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. That is, it is impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That teaches us this, that if any man is going to have an acceptance with God, if any person is going to be able to walk with God consistently in this life, if any person is going to perform any work that will be well-pleasing to God, they must first of all believe that God is. How could you walk with somebody that you don't know? How could you walk with somebody that doesn't exist? It's impossible. But you see, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That is, he is the living God. Not only so, he is the giving God, for he is the rewarder of them who diligently seek him. He was the rewarder of the man called Abel. He was the rewarder of the man called Enoch. They both of them sought God in the correct way. So therefore that verse comes in at verse 6, and then we move on to verse 7, where we read concerning Noah. Now all that's said here, as it were, in this verse concerning Noah is this, that by faith Noah being warned of God, plain words, he had a warning from God, and then he moved with fear. He moved according to the message he received, and by doing this, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. But now to get the whole background to this, again you must go back to the historical record of Noah. And remember the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here on earth, he made reference to the days of Noah. And he said, as it was, so shall it be. Now when you go back to Genesis chapter 6, and you join that with Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7, and you read Matthew chapter 24 verses 37 through 39, you realize that the days of Noah were days of wickedness. The world was a wicked place. There was wickedness in thought. The minds of the people were corrupt. You know, this is something that the devil tries to do with each generation. He endeavors to corrupt the mind. If he can capture our thinking and get us to think wrong things, he'll achieve a great victory. And in the days of Noah, men's minds were corrupted. And because there was corruption of the mind, it signifies there was wickedness in the thought. They even thought wicked things. Not only so, there was wickedness in action. They were delighting themselves in things sensual. The sensual things were all that they lived for in the days of Noah. And their wickedness came up before God in such a way that God determined it was time to act in judgment. Wickedness, and the result of it was simply this: wherever there is internal corruption, there will be external violence. If you discover a great amount of violence, you will discover it's there because of corrupt thinking, because of the corruption of the heart. So in Genesis 6, we have presented to us what we might call the total depravity of humanity. They were living without God, and only divine intervention could provide the remedy. Now, it was in the midst of these days of wickedness, when God was about to bring judgment upon this world, it was then that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when we come to Hebrews chapter 11, we learn that he finds his place here with the heroes of faith. By faith, Noah. Here was a man who believed God in the midst of all the opposition of those that surrounded him. They didn't believe God. Why, they would laugh Noah to scorn, thinking that it was so silly of him to speak of God coming out in judgment. But the days of Noah, when Noah walked with God and worked for God, they were days of warning. You have the warnings of God. We might say there was divine consultation. You know, in chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, God is saying, let us make man. That was the triune God in consultation, let us make man. But when you come to chapter 6, God is saying, I will destroy man. And he's telling this to Noah. Not only so, we have divine observation. When God observed his creation in the beginning, he said it was very good. All that God had made was good. And he made that beautiful garden in which he placed Adam. The only thing that wasn't good, he said it wasn't good that man should be alone. And so he made him a helpmeet. Everything was very good. But now in chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, God observes wickedness and corruption and departure from divine standards. Everything now is wicked. You ask yourself what has caused all this, and the answer is very plain: sin. The enemy had done it. That which was good is now corrupt and wicked. Then we have divine revelation. God revealed the destruction of all flesh. That is, there was the word of condemnation. But then he also revealed the description of the ark. He told Noah how to build the ark. There I suggest we have the revelation of salvation. In plain words, there could be no salvation apart from the way that God indicated to Noah. And then God revealed the terms of his covenant, and that was preservation. So there were days of warning, the warnings of God. God warned his servant Noah, and Noah inclined his ear and listened to God, for he did all this by faith. Now keep in mind, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If men and women listen to the word of God and act accordingly, that's the action of faith. But if they hear the word of God and turn a deaf ear to it, as it were, and refuse to be obedient, then they live their life in rebellion against God. Now remember then, the days of Noah were days of wickedness. The world was a wicked place. The days of Noah were days of warning, when first of all God warned Noah, and then Noah warned the people. You know, Enoch was a preacher, we learned that. Enoch was a preacher of judgment, but Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And you find when you come to the New Testament that the Holy Spirit would come and convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And so way back in the days before the flood, men heard preaching about coming judgment against their ungodly deeds. They also heard the preaching of Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness, setting before them the divine standards, that which God required of them. And then he also built the ark. While he preached righteousness, he prepared for judgment. And that's a good thing to do. You see, our little text says this: by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now remember what it said at the beginning of chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so here was a man who was warned of God of things not seen as yet. From the beginning of creation right up to the days of Noah, they had never seen anything like this regarding water coming down from the sky. See, you and I are quite accustomed to the rain, and we expect the rain at times, although we cannot control it. Sometimes we feel we get more than we need or more than we want. Other times we don't get enough. At least that's what we think. But God is the God of the weather. But up till the days of Noah, the earth was watered in a different way. It was watered with a mist that came up. But now in the days of Noah a new thing took place, and God told Noah of things that had not been seen as yet, that he was going to send a flood, and the whole earth would be filled and covered with water. The likes of that had never happened before. Nevertheless, Noah heard the message from God, he believed it, and he prepared for it. Now, my friend, this old world of ours is rushing on, and the scoffers have arisen, and they're saying, where is the sign of his coming? Why do you keep talking about God? Why do you keep telling us the day of reckoning is coming and the day of judgment is coming? Why the world's just going on today the same as it's always done, and it'll just keep going on like this from one generation to another? That's the way they speak. My friend, let me tell you this. Men scoffed in the days of Noah and they perished. They wouldn't listen to Noah, only his wife, his three sons and their wives, and himself. Eight people in all went into the ark and were saved, and all the rest perished. Now today you can warn men and women about this fact, that God will not always tolerate their sin and iniquity. The day of reckoning will come. And today we can preach against sin, and we can preach the fact of coming judgment, and we can present the standards of God's righteousness. But whether it be sin or righteousness or judgment, some men may tremble for a little while and then forget about it. Others listen and they repent and turn to God. There are some who scoff, but truth is truth. And the day of reckoning is fast approaching. Even at our very best, each of us only live here during our generation, that's all. Then we pass off. Oh, my friend, let me remind you that just as God warned Noah, so the Lord said, as it was, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That's the time when the Lord will come back, not for the rapture of his church, but when he shall come back, and his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, when he will come as the deliverer of his people, Israel, and when he shall bring vengeance and righteous judgment on his enemies. Remember this, God will intervene in world affairs again. But just as people refuse to listen to Noah, they're refusing to listen at the present time. But now, these were days of witness. You have the witness of Noah. May I suggest there was the witness of his walk. He was a man who walked with God. We already said something about that when we were dealing with Enoch, that Enoch walked with God. And so also did Noah. This man knew what it meant to walk with God. Remember, he walked with God in an age when men and women were turning away from God and would have nothing to do with the things of God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah walked with God. And yet he was a married man, and he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, as a married man, he had all the responsibilities of his day. But here he is. He's a man who was walking with God, and therefore he witnessed by his walk. See, walking with God, if I remind you again, signifies at least three things. There must first of all be an acceptance with God. Then we must be in agreement with God, and we must have the approval by God. Now I ask you, my friend, do you know anything at all about walking and witnessing for God? You see, your very walk in life is a witness for good or for ill. Here was a man then who bore his witness to those that lived around him by the way he lived, the very character of his life, the way he molded his life, the way he lived day by day, stood as a witness against the ungodly men that lived around him. Not only so, there was the witness of his words. He wasn't silent. Noah was a preacher. and Noah preached righteousness while he prepared for coming judgment. The Lord Jesus, again I remind you, taught that the Holy Spirit would come and he would reprove the world of its sin and righteousness and judgment. He says, of sin because they believe not on me. You see, unbelief is the opposite of faith. Noah acted in faith. Those around him acted in unbelief. Today we have those who have exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have those who have not accepted him and living their lives in unbelief. Then there is righteousness. Either we live with the righteousness that God gives us, or else we live a life of unrighteousness. And then judgment. There is therefore now no condemnation, that is, there is therefore now no judgment to them who were in Christ Jesus. When Noah and his family went into the ark, the judgment didn't fall on them, it fell on the ark. They were saved through the judgment. But remember this, for all who were outside the ark, the judgment of God came upon them. For all who are in Christ Jesus, men and women who have trusted the Savior, they can easily say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But remember, those who will not take Christ, they are condemned already, because they believe not on the Son of God. Not only did Noah witness by his walk, that is his manner of life, but he witnessed by his words. He was able to give his message. Not only so, but he witnessed by his work, the things that he did. This was a work of faith, for Noah believed God. If Noah hadn't believed God, and if the judgment hadn't come, it would have seemed ridiculous for Noah to spend over 100 years building that ship that they called the Ark. They built it where there was no water. Now, who would ever think of building a ship away out where he built his? But he did. And it was an act of faith, for he believed that what God said would come to pass. Noah believed God. It's a wonderful thing when anyone has this confidence to believe God. And so he believed God, and he witnessed his faith by his work. That is exactly what James tells us in his little letter. He said, you say you've got faith. Well, I believe you've got faith when I see your works that will answer to your profession. It's not a matter of your works saving you. That's not the point. But while you're justified with God on the basis of faith, your faith will be justified by your works. So this man believed God. And not only did he say he believed God, he proved that he believed God, because he did what God told him to do, and he went and built the ark. This work was marked by faithfulness. He didn't alter the pattern, you know. God gave him the pattern for that ark, and Noah built the ark according to God's pattern. He built it exactly as God commanded. There are just two things about that ark perhaps I should mention to you now that may interest you. First of all, there was only one door into that ark. That's all. One door and only one. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, irrespective of their position in the family, irrespective of their ages, they all had to go in at the one door. If anyone else had wanted to go into the ark, they would have gone in at the one door. All the animals that came, whether large or small, and all the birds that went in the same way, in through the one door. Friend, let me tell you, if salvation is provided for us now, we all enter the same door, and we do so by faith. There's no other entrance into God's salvation. God has made one way, and only one way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. If you're going to be saved, you must come God's way. that is, by faith, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But there was a window in the ark, and that window looked heavenward. And you know, every time that Noah looked out of the ark, he would be up in the top story. He wasn't down in the ground story, he was up aloft. And he'd be able to look out through the window, and his outlook was always heavenward. May I suggest to you, my friend, if you have professed to take Jesus Christ as your Savior, your outlook is towards the heaven from whence you look for the Savior.